Invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 4, which is our scripture reading for this morning. Luke chapter 4, the verses 14 through 21. And let's pray together, asking for God's light and His Spirit on our reading this morning. In you, O Lord, we find our joy, because in your law and in your prophets, you called a people and you gave them news of freedom and righteousness and justice. So today we pray that you will pour out your Spirit on us, that we, who are Christ's body, might bear the good news to others. So open us, lend yourself to us, and fill us, that we might hear what you have to offer and live lives of service for you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. In 1975, an author by the name of Walker Percy wrote a book entitled Message in a Bottle. And what Walker Percy was writing about 30 years ago could describe something to us, and it could describe as well the people of Nazareth in Jesus' day. In our own culture, perhaps it describes the sense of homelessness that many of us feel. Where do we belong? Who am I? But what Walker Percy said is that all information comes to us can fit into two kinds of categories. We could fit it into a category of information or news. And to illustrate this point, Walker Percy gave this illustration. He said, "Imagine that there's a man who is shipwrecked and he's a castaway on an island. And because of the shipwreck, he forgets completely where he came from or that there was another world that he left. And as he makes his adjustments to the island and he gets to know the natives and he gets to know the culture there, he finds himself walking along the beach, and every once in a while a bottle washes up on shore, and he opens it and he begins to read it. He reads the message that's there and he begins to have a realization that perhaps there's another world, another place that he's forgotten about. So he finds himself walking those shores more frequently, and he gathers a community of people around him that begin to wait for news. They gather weekly at the shore, hoping a bottle will come in and that it'll have news. And suddenly this community of people begin to wait there, watching and beginning to listen for news that will change the way they live on that island. Other people just receive that as knowledge, as bits of information, and try and study it and try and put it together. But this group of people gather at Oceanside waiting for news. A message in a bottle that will change the way they live right here, right now. What a way to think about preaching and gathering as God's people. In today's text, word or news is going throughout the whole region that Jesus is coming. People are excited and enthusiastic about him. The news is even going ahead of him. And maybe they are saying to themselves, Joseph's son is coming back from the wilderness, and they've heard things about him so that there's a buzz throughout Nazareth. They're excited to listen to this young man as he comes back to the synagogue. Maybe the place is packed. Maybe there are little old ladies there saying, hey, this is Joey's son. Let's listen to him. The place is abuzz and hungry to hear what this young man from our hometown has to say. We can't wait for him to read God's word and to sit in Moses' seat and offer a reflection. People did that, and now it was Jesus' turn. Maybe they didn't realize what was at stake with this Jesus who is coming bearing a message from Isaiah. Is he going to bring knowledge or is he going to bring news? And when Jesus unrolled that Isaiah scroll and read that text, their hearts must have warmed because that was a favorite of theirs. That was a text that they lived by, that they cherished. And maybe those people had warm feelings all over because this young man, a product of our congregation, of our community, came and brought a word. Imagine what that must have been like. But this son of Joseph has gone to the wilderness and he has been filled with the Spirit, and that has changed him. He has been refined for ministry, and what he brings is not just knowledge out of a seminary, but a message that comes right out of his life, a message of freedom and rescue and deliverance, because what Isaiah is talking about in this text is Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor. If you want to read about that, it's in Leviticus 25, where God said every 7 times 7 years, every 50 years, all the land goes back to its rightful owners, and anyone who owns a slave, that slave goes free, and Jesus says, that day is today. And I wonder how many people said, now isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful to hear him? Isn't it wonderful to think about a day when everyone will be free, when possessions will go back? Jubilee is such a good idea. But you know what? If you turn through the pages of the Old Testament, even though that command comes right out of the Torah, out of the Pentateuch, there's no evidence that God's people ever did it. There's no evidence that they ever did it. Maybe they did, but we don't have a story about it. So it would seem that God's people lived with this sense of, yeah, maybe we ought to do, that's a nice idea. And I wonder how many of them receive that as knowledge. You know, that's in the Pentateuch, and maybe that's picturing or painting a picture of the way the world ought to be. But if I own land, it's really hard for me to give that back. And if I own slaves, it's really hard for me to give that up. So that Isaiah and Ezekiel talk about that day still coming. I began to think this week, now what would Jubilee look like today? And I think one of the grandest expressions that I've seen of it, when you think about people going out of debt and having land returned to them. I don't know how many of you on Sunday nights watch Extreme Makeover Home Edition. But when my family and I sit down to watch that show once in a while and see the story of someone who suffered from cancer, suffered from death, or who have been in incredible debt, or something drastic and terrible has happened to their home, this crew comes in and builds them a new one in a week. And with my kids, you find yourself, if you're watching that show, saying, move the bus, because you can't wait to see what's going to be there. And my kids, especially my oldest 8-year-old, will watch me and, Now, Dad, why are you crying again? Because it moves you to tears to see, oh, what, how fun to be part of something like that. I think that's what Jubilee, that's a picture of Jubilee. Now, maybe that's a grand and dramatic version of it, but that's the kind of picture. What brings tears to our eyes? It's about the freedom and the newness and the not being bound anymore. And we could just talk about that and cerebralize that and think about that, but that's what Jesus is talking about. Those who are captive, those who are held, those who are blind. It is God's intention to give people that kind of freedom. And if you're in that kind of state, what a wonderful thing that is. But if you're a landowner or you're a slave owner or own servants, it's harder to do. And I think Jesus is coming right into his hometown and giving this announcement to say, that day is today. It's here. And some people in that crowd are going to hear that as news. Yes, it is now. And there are others, to be sure, who are going to say, now, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice that our Jesus is talking about the year of Jubilee? And the truth of the matter is that today each one of us have the ability to hear this as knowledge, or we can hear it as news. We can hear this as just a nice text, or we can have new eyes to see poverty and captivity and oppression of others and see the way in which we participate in these and say with Jesus, yes, today is the day. We can make it a living reality in our lives because we've heard this not as just another nice text that happens to fall on today, or this can be a text that falls on us, that puts us in a different place so that we are like that people along the beach who read this, hear news, and our lives begin to change because of it. Now, there are plenty of people and there are plenty of churches today that might get warm fuzzies about this Nazareth boy named Jesus. It is easy for us to preach Christ and inform Christians about him. That's an easy job as a preacher. Just talk about Jesus. But that's not what this text is about. This is about preaching the message that Jesus preached, which is a hard thing to do. Because we immediately know that this is risky for us because it engages our lives and challenges how we live. It challenges how we look at the uninsured. It challenges us when we think about how we think about and talk about matters of equal rights. It challenges us to think about all of the ways in which we might participate in oppression. It challenges us on the school bus, in the schoolyard, in the business place. And Jesus preaches that message. Isaiah did it in an Assyrian empire, and it was risky for him. Jesus did it in a Roman empire with Jewish community, and it was risky for him. And we proclaim it here in an American empire among a church that's searching too for who it is and how we fit into the world. What are the ways in which we might feel trapped or imprisoned, or where we ourselves do that to others? Luke's point in this text is about us realizing that Jesus not only talks about the Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor, the year of releasing captives, but that Jesus is the Jubilee. In him, there is complete freedom. He bears this revolutionary message that transforms lives when we hear it as news, not just as nice information. And all of us have a choice this morning. We can listen to what he says, we can watch what he does, or we can live what he proclaims so that our lives bear that news. And This is what gets the crowd all riled up a little few chapters later when Jesus begins to apply this text to them, and they are so angry at him that they are ready to throw him off a cliff. You know, preachers' popularity always rise and fall real quickly. So it was with Jesus. Because he was living out this message and applying it for them. Maybe they got angry with him because he changed the text. Isaiah says, "The Lord's coming with vengeance." Jesus left that part out. He reminded his hearers that this message was not only for them, but it was for everyone. It was for freedom for everyone. And new life and new belonging. And I wonder how many of the people of Nazareth wanted to just leave this as knowledge and not hear it as news. And Jesus is calling forth their lives to move in a direction toward an orientation toward others. If they can get this text off of themselves and see the world around them through that lens, their lives are going to be different. So let's apply this. What are some ways in which we might see or practice Jubilee for ourselves if we take this as news this morning? Maybe you ride the bus as a kid every day, or almost every day, and there's a kid on the bus that nobody sits by. And you know deep down that that person is sad or lonely, doesn't have any friends. Maybe a first step for you would be to choose to sit by him or her once in a while, even if that's costly for you. Maybe there's someone who you suspect at work who's lonely, who you know doesn't have a friend. Maybe you've seen people standing around in the gathering area or somewhere else, and every week they stand all by themselves. And you have had a nudging in your own heart from time to time. You know, somebody really ought to go talk to that person. Well, maybe that's the Spirit saying, it's you. Perhaps you need to hear this morning this news, not knowledge, but news, receiving the news that you don't need to be a victim anymore. As a child, as a wife, as a husband, as a daughter, maybe your whole identity for all of your life has been to be known as a victim because you have been held hostage to somebody else, to somebody else's anger. Maybe you're held hostage to your own anger. Jesus comes proclaiming today, Jubilee, a day of newness for you. A way of proclaiming Jubilee in your life is to be more deliberate with acts of generosity, not just church, but generosity of spirit and of time and of helping others. Maybe you need the freedom from the need to have an opinion on everything. And maybe the people around you need the freedom to not hear about your opinion on everything. Maybe we need to look at our own lives and say, do I care more about a college fund or a retirement account or my own comfort than I do the poor, the uninsured, the single mom, the people who are struggling in my neighborhood? If I give more emotional energy to those kinds of things than I do to the concrete needs that God has put in front of me, you know, think about that. 47 million people in this country are uninsured. And there's a lot in the congregation that are uninsured. Does it bother us? The other news, and here's my last point this morning, in this text, and I think this is the best news of all, is that if we have found ourselves in the poor, in the blind, in the enslaved, in the captive, if we have found ourselves released, then we move from beyond being the one addressed to becoming the ones sent. Because the same Spirit that fell on Jesus Christ of Nazareth in the wilderness has fallen on us as well, to move us from saying, you know, Jesus, you're just way too idealistic. You're just painting a picture that's just too rosy of all of these captives being released and all of these all this freedom coming. And moving over toward that Moses seat and saying, yes, this needs to be part of my life too. And I wonder what it takes for us to have that kind of freedom. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So that you leave this place as people who were once captive, freed. And these truths are not to be spiritualized or idealized. Jesus is talking about concrete reality, your concrete reality and mine. Because the Spirit is here. Have you ever noticed, if you've watched the news or read the newspaper, that in Middle Eastern countries, and especially in South American countries too, if a new leader comes to power, usually by a coup or something, what's the first thing that happens? That new leader opens up the prisons. He or she opens up the prisons because everyone who has been held captive under the old regime are now freed. And I remember, you may remember too, when Saddam Hussein was reelected by a skewed election, but the first thing that he did was open up Iraqi prisons, people that he had imprisoned. And people were dancing in the streets because they had this new freedom. Jesus is saying with his coming, there is a regime change. And all the prisoners get to come free again. And I want you to think about today as you leave this place. Think about those places in your life where you are imprisoned and Jesus opens those doors. And think about the people in your life that are carrying around a ball and a chain, not a spouse, but who are carrying around this burden. Carrying around this burden, and Jesus comes and he gives us the keys. He gives us the keys of the kingdom, which is for unlocking all of the doors that have long been locked. Because the Spirit of the Lord is unleashed in his world and unleashed on his church to begin to make all things new. Such news, brothers and sisters, ought not just be bottled up. It ought to be opened and unleashed, taken in and lived out, because the Spirit has anointed us to proclaim the same message that Jesus did. Live today not with knowledge, but with the news that the captives have been freed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We, the people of Nazareth, have all too often thought of you, Lord Jesus, as a prized possession and taken pride in you and thought about you in our heads and in our minds, but have not listened always to you and your message as news. So we pray for forgiveness in that. And pray that we would be a people who hear your Spirit-directed message and hear it in our own hearts and lives in ways that cause us to live it out. Forgive us for those moments when we've left it bottled up. We pray that your message in us, your newsy message in us, might have life and might bring a future for ourselves and a future for others that is rich and Spirit-empowered because you are in us. So we pray for the captives, if they are us, if they are others. We pray for the blind, where we are blind and where others are too. For those who are oppressed, for those who are waiting. Bring your message of news and life, that we might have life and freedom in your name. We pray these things trusting in you and trusting the Spirit that you've given to us. Let all God's people say, Amen.